Welcome back to Reddit Stories. I'm Shane, and today it's all about the updates. These are stories that have multiple parts, surprising updates. It's going to be thrilling. We're not going to know where any of these are heading. Buckle up, because there's going to be a lot of surprises and twists. Joining me today, Trevor and Courtney, the denim duo. Solid. Solid.
Got him.
Got him.
Owned.
Did I hit your crotch?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Hi.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Good.
I don't know what else. Trevor, how are you doing?
Good.
Nice. You guys have both been on Reddit Stories where we've had a lot of updates, and the updates are the best part. Saying update is my favorite thing, and I'm going to get to say it a lot today.
I don't think we've done a Reddit Stories together, have we?
We
really?
Did. No, we
oh,
did,
yeah.
And it was the one where you were getting, it was like the day of, you got the update
That's right.
The afternoon, and you were like, this just came in an hour ago.
Yep.
Oh my God, how could I forget?
Yeah. Yep. So, let's hope for some spiciness like that.
Let's go.
Here we go, our first story. Am I the asshole for jumping out of the way when my niece and nephew tried to push me into a pool, resulting in them falling in? Kind of funny. Happened today. This is from July of last year. Happened today. My folks decided to host a barbecue because I guess that's what older people do. Okay, bro. I declined because I really don't like my two sisters, their husbands, or their kids. Wife and I are child-free. Mom then pressured the wife. Long story short, we went. By the time we arrived, there were about 20 people there. My sisters and their husbands were already solidly buzzed. Drunk, really. My mom was spending 100% of her time trying to keep the nieces and nephews, ages 7 to 11, more or less under control. My dad had strategically retreated to the whirlpool part of the pool with a small cooler of beers. Wife and I made small talk with miscellaneous people, ate food, and had a frozen margarita. Sisters slash brother-in-laws took turns criticizing us for being late, not being in our swimsuits, and screwing up the vibe. Whatever. Typical suburban summer get-together. About 45 minutes in, two of the kids ran at one of the neighbor guests who was standing next to the pool and pushed her in. She was at the pool steps, stumbled in but didn't fall, so only got half wet. She was clearly very unhappy about it, but she didn't make a scene. Just went over to where the parents were, grabbed their towels, dried herself off, and left. Sisters and brother-in-laws thought it was all great fun. A bit later, I was standing a few feet away from the pool, chatting away with someone. I saw three of the kids running full tilt at me from the corner of my eye. Obviously, I was next. Not that it's terribly difficult to outwit young kids, but I just jumped out of their way at the last second. All three of them ran straight into the pool at full speed. Most of the other guests, including my wife and me, started laughing, but their moms, who, as I mentioned, were pretty shit-faced, absolutely freaked out. Apparently, two of the kids couldn't swim even, even though they were in swimsuits. Since I wasn't in swim gear, I stepped back from the pool and let other people fish the kids out. The kids were bawling their heads off like they'd lost a limb. At that point, all hell broke loose. The four drunk parents were yelling at everyone in general, and me in particular, for nearly letting their kids drown, and also because two of the kids had been videoing the trick using their parents' iPhones, which were now at the bottom of the pool. One of my brother-in-laws got into the pool to try to retrieve the phones, but his BMI and blood alcohol content made that impossible. No one else volunteered to help, unsurprising given that my sisters were still bitching at everyone. Oof. I told my sisters it was their job to watch their kids and that if anything had happened to them, it would have been their responsibility, not mine. There were some pretty strong words on both sides. Wife and I left after the other brother-in-laws fell over and face-planted while yelling at us. Oh. Now they're saying I should have let the little kids knock me into the pool and have their fun and ruin my phone. So, am I the asshole? Side note, dad, of course, never got out of the whirlpool.
Oh, my God.
Okay. A lot going on in this.
So much chaos.
Yeah, holy shit. Okay, I have some initial thoughts.
Yeah.
at the beginning of this story, I kind of hated him.
Yeah.
And I still kind of hate him for, like, how he's talking about people. I'm just like, okay, dude.
Yeah.
Like, damn, you're kind of just a hater.
Yeah.
Which is fine. I guess you're allowed to be a hater. Mm. But now hearing about these people, I was like, I get why you're a hater a little bit. I can't relate to this at all because when I was a kid, I was terrified of adults. And the thought of just being like, yeah, I'm going to go prank and push an adult into the pool.
Yeah, it's scary.
I was just like, I can't do that. I'm not allowed to do that to adults. Yeah.
I just can't believe, because growing up, like, my neighborhood and my family had a ton of pool barbecues growing up. And it's like, there needs to be so much supervision on the kids at all times. And for, like, kids who can't swim, pulling pranks like that, with parents who are too drunk to be able to possibly retrieve them if need be. Like, that's all really intense and like, doesn't sound like their parents were being very responsible.
No, these parents sound like they suck.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah.
He sounds like he's an asshole, but not for what happened in the story. Like, he sounds like he's just kind of like, not super fun to be around, maybe.
He just sounds bitter, maybe. Yeah. And
he sounds like he hates these people, and I'm like, okay, I get why you kind of hate these people.
But what happened in the story, I don't think he's at fault at all. Like, if I was in normal clothes, like, at a pool party and had, like, my phone on me, and, like, some kids came running at me, I would be avoiding them, too. Like,
I would push them, like, in and make them fly in there harder.
If your kids are running around the pool and they can't swim, you as a parent should probably be doing something about that.
I can't tell you how many times growing up being told, no running by the pool. Like, never in my life could we have done something like that. And also, like, we've had a lot of stories on this show where when something like this goes wrong and someone else in this situation who's unhappy is like, why didn't you just let this shitty thing happen to you? Like, why didn't you just let yourself be bullied? Why didn't you let this bad, and like he said, his phone would have been ruined then too.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty insane to blame someone else for your child taking your phone and running into the pool with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, no, that's on the kid. Like, that's fully on the kid.
Yeah, because like, OP is an adult, but so are the parents, and the parents should have been there handling that in the first place.
They're teaching their kids, it's totally fine to just completely disrespect people.
Yeah.
I also just like, this is me. This is just how I think future me or in this situation. I'm like, I wouldn't want to get face planting shit face drunk in front of my kids.
No.
Like, I don't think that's a good thing to do, especially in a situation where you're by a pool. Like, it's also not generally smart to get too drunk by a pool like that. Like, it's a dangerous situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've already drowned once. I can't do it again.
God.
The verdict was not the asshole.
Yeah.
Some comments here. If these kids were mine, we would be packing up and going home. They don't get to have fun now. Thank goodness my kids have never done this, and pool safety has been drilled into their brain. Someone else said, not the asshole. The parents knew their kids could not swim and took them somewhere with deep water and were not watching their kids. Mm-hmm. Someone else said, not the asshole. People tried being asses to you. You avoided them. OP said, I realize they're just kids and they were just having fun. The fact that they thought this was okay is more of a reflection on their parents than them. Mm-hmm. Just wish we hadn't gone. It's nice to see my folks and their neighbors, but I really, really don't like my sisters or their husbands. They don't hide their envy of us, and they're just exhausting to be around.
Mm. Envy of us?
Yeah, I can't relate to that either, because, like, you know, I love my family. Like, my family is luckily not, like, this level of disrespect.
Mm.
But that's... that sucks.
I wonder what that envious such a comment meant.
I wonder if he means envy that they don't have kids.
Ooh.
That's my only thought. What's my only thought?
Whew.
Update.
Who could have seen it coming?
Who would have even thought of it?
I don't even know what the update can be on this one.
Yeah.
27 days after the original post. First off, my folks tell me that my nieces and nephews are all good swimmers and that they use the pool all the time. The 7-year-old is still a beginner, but he loves the water. My sister just said they couldn't swim, so I'd look bad.
Whoa!
To be fair, none of the kids are allowed in the deep end, which is where they fell in. It was the 2 10-year-olds and the 9-year-old who tried to push me into the pool. After we left, the party ended on a pretty sour note. My drunk brother-in-law, who face planted while yelling at me, had to go to an urgent care place and get his face stitched up.
Oh my God.
He was too toasted to drive, so Dad took him. Dad was very not happy about this. Later that evening, my sister started a group text and said some really nasty crap. Their husbands threw in a few comments as well. Wife and I blocked the 4 of them. My mom called me. She was pretty upset about what they said. She and Dad were in the chat, and I don't blame her. Because of the texts, my folks insisted my sisters slash brother-in-laws come over the next day, Sunday, without their kids to get some things straight and lay down some ground rules. Mom's wording. The result was a contrite, if unenthusiastic, apology from the siblings via my mom's phone. I'm glad my wife was with me when they called. Her hard stares kept me from saying what I wanted to. I just told them thanks and that we felt no need to discuss it further. Since I thought things were settled, I unblocked them. That evening, I got a text from one of the brother-in-laws telling me the phones cost X amount of money, and they asked when I'd be paying for them. What the fuck? I replied, never. Took a screenshot of his text and forwarded it to my folks with a note that we were done with this nonsense, we're going no contact with sisters slash spouses, and not to invite us to any more holidays or get-togethers if they'll be present.
Dang.
Then I blocked the sisters and their spouses again. At that point, the shit really hit the fan. Dad called them and ripped them a new one. Among other things, he told them the grandkids were not welcome at his place indefinitely.
Oh,
my God.
Since my mom regularly provides free babysitting, that got them pretty rattled. Ooh. He also banned them from using the vacation house and told them my wife and I actually own it,
Ooh.
Not he and mom. Mm.
This
completely freaked them out. Both of my sisters slash families use the place a lot, including having their friends up for weekend getaways. This was very much out of character for my folks. They'd clearly had it. And for reference, I never wanted my sisters to know we owned the place. We bought it for my folks. They'd always wanted a place in the mountains. Keeping the ownership quiet was just a way to avoid drama with my siblings. Mm. A couple of days later, my sisters and their husbands came to our place unannounced to apologize in person. We were out to dinner and they left a note. One sister also called me at work too. I sent her to voicemail. We've decided that being no contact is the best thing for the indefinite future and haven't interacted with them for the last 3+ weeks. Personally, I'm done. They can go pound sand.
Whoa. Wow. Yeah, I mean, holy crap. Okay, so OP and his wife own a cabin that their parents were kind of saying that they had. Was it, that's so interesting.
Yeah.
And now the siblings don't have access to this cabin anymore.
And I understand now the envy, it seems like maybe this sibling has more money a lot. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah, so yeah, talking about envy.
Yeah. Wow. I don't love that they came to apologize after all that stuff was taken.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like these are just
no, because they don't realize what they've been losing. Like they thought that they had, I don't know. I mean, some people when they're just really entitled, they think they have nothing to lose when they act the way that they want because they're so entitled.
Yeah. Oof.
This is obviously like the straw that broke the camel's back.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
I wonder he was bitter.
Going on for years.
I totally,
I'm sure.
Like, those first few paragraphs make a lot more sense now where I'm just like, oh, you just despise these people.
Yeah. Like, they've been awful for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you've tolerated it.
Done.
Damn.
Yeah.
The fact that they kept that cabin a secret just because they're like, because we know it'll cause more issues.
Oh,
damn.
Yeah, clearly, and I'm happy that the parent, like the parents, had like sided with OP this whole time and really tried to like even mediate and make sure things were kosher. But like, dang, that's wild.
Update number 2.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
This is 10 days later, or 9 days after that post.
Okay.
Well, it's been an interesting last few days. I thought the shit had hit the fan before, but it was more of a fart compared to what's happened this week.
You thought you were the shit, you're not even the fart.
It turns out I'm Ice Spice. And okay. For this to make sense, I need to provide some financial context. My folks haven't ever been good at saving money. I've been doing their taxes for years, so I know pretty much everything about them money-wise. Their house is paid for, and they have minimal debt, but they didn't save much for retirement. Both of them get Social Security, Dad gets a solid pension, and they have a bit of savings, but there's no treasure chest in the basement. I bought their current car for them after they retired as a retirement present so they could have something nice to drive. It was the first car in probably 20 years they didn't lease. My sisters are convinced the folks are dripping with money and that our parents will be leaving the two of them everything since I don't need more money, so they've never cared about saving either. Turns out my oldest sister and her husband, they have 3 kids, have been living beyond their means for some time and are in financial straits. They've maxed out their credit cards and are behind on their car leases to the point that one is about to get repossessed. He's bragged in the past about making X per year, but it turns out to be about half that. She confessed all this to mom on Tuesday because they need a loan. And this was a what the fuck moment for mom and dad. For the last 3 years, instead of staying at the vacation house regularly, she's actually been renting it out once a month or so and pocketing the cash. Oh. We're talking $2,000 plus for a weekend and at least $4,000 for a week. With her being cut off from using the place, she's had to cancel one group already. She's now worried they'll lose everything. My folks aren't in any position to give them a loan. My other sister was aware of her renting out the place, but of course hasn't ever said anything. I suspect she's done the same thing as well because I went up there once to drop off an ATV I'd worked on, and there was a family there who claimed to be staying there with my sister slash her family and that they'd gone to town for something. At the time, I let it go. I figured she'd loaned out the house to some friends, but I've always wondered. I found all this out through my folks who are pretty stressed out about it, mom more than dad. He's mainly just pissed off about it all. I know dad feels betrayed, and I imagine he's embarrassed that he's in no position to help his daughter out. He did reiterate that as long as it's up to him, the girls won't be using the vacation home anytime soon. My folks let me know what's going on because they figured my sisters would put a full court press on me next. And they were right. On Thursday, my sisters came to our place again, without husbands this time, and waited outside the door until I got home. I had to choose between fighting with them in public, them making a scene if I went in without them, or letting them in, so I let them in. I got a bullshit story from the older sister with the younger one backing her up regarding why I needed to let them use the mountain place again immediately. They also said I've been a shitty brother and that I needed to step up and plan on paying for their kids' college tuition since that's what family does.
Oh, I'm getting goosebumps of rage.
I let them pitch their story, then called them out based on what my folks had told me. Things went to shit from there. There was denial, crying, cursing, yelling, you name it. I swear my ears are still ringing 2 days later. Won't lie, I said some really mean and shitty things to them, but nothing that wasn't true. They finally left about an hour. After that, I took a shower and laid down. When I got up, my wife was home, and her first words were that she'd had to block more phone numbers because my sisters were blowing up our phones from new ones.
Oh.
Folks messaged me yesterday asking me to call. I'm sure my sisters have told them some bullshit version of what had happened, but I'm not up to rehashing it yet. I'm usually a pretty energetic person, but this drama has me beaten down. I had just enough energy today to drive up to the vacation house and padlock the entrance gate shut. I'm the only one with a key. I'm guessing that will be enough to ensure my siblings leave the place alone. They'd probably die trying to walk 400 yards uphill to get to the house.
Oh my God.
There's only one comment here. I'll read that first. Get some security cameras and change the locks in case your siblings have copies of the key. They might squat in your vacation home. Don't let them mooch off of you.
Oh, wow. My goodness.
That's
they
crazy.
Kept getting worse and worse and worse.
Yeah.
These are like, this is like movie level shitty people.
Yeah. Oh, I
didn't trust this guy at the beginning just because he said he didn't like barbecues. But after hearing all this, if that's your experience with barbecues for the last however many years, I'd hate him too.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right. The barbecue is like barbecues. I guess that's what adults do. I was like, okay, dude, fuck you. Damn.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
To come in and try and like repair in some way to get the cabin back, but doesn't even sound like they were trying to repair anything. They're just like, this is why it's important that we have it back immediately. Also, you're paying for our children's college tuition. Like, what? That's crazy.
The level of entitlement's awful. And you know, I can't relate to the idea of, like, no contact with family because I'm very lucky that I don't have to deal with that in my real life. But in this guy's situation, I fully understand that because it's just like, oh, these are the most entitled people I've ever heard of, and their kids are going to be just as entitled. You're like, based on, I can only assume, unless like someone else changes their perspective on things, this family is just kind of fucked.
Yeah.
And they're going to only leech off of everything around them.
It's so tough because like, I have seen people in my life who have this like really tough exterior and are entitled, but then there still could be a chance of like breaking down and being right. like and coming clean, but these people like are so stubborn, and I just can't believe like, it's truly just the most like intense entitlement.
They also sound really stupid because
they're also
committing a crime by renting out a house that they don't own, and
that's not okay.
A lot of money sounds like a lot of money that they were making off of it. It's like, oh, and you're just blowing that money.
Yeah,
like it's not like, oh, we're in financial straits because of like all these circumstances, health reasons. It's like, no, you're just fucking being stupid.
Sounds like they use it on alcohol.
Yeah.
No, they're buying new phones to call him instead of just being like, hey, how about you figure out your situation?
Yeah, like they're they're valuing their egos over family, and like, it's just such a mess.
Wow. All because he dodged out of the way from his nieces and nephews.
Yeah.
The thought, it makes me like sick to think about like a child, like someone one line about how much they make and pretending to make more and then spending money frivolously because you think that when your parents die, you're getting a bunch of money. Like
that's
that makes
insane
me sick to be like relying on your parents' death to save you from financial crisis that you put yourself in.
No.
Yeah, that's like alarming lack of empathy vibes. Like, jeez.
Oh, man. Awful.
No more updates?
That's it. That's where it ends. It sounds just like this relationships are over.
Yeah.
That he's probably not going to talk to his family ever again. And I probably wouldn't either.
I mean, that's why you have to, like, that's why just, like, being kind and being willing to make things better is should be the goal for everyone, because these entitled people had no idea all of the things that they were losing. They're losing the cabin. They're losing their parents' free babysitting. They're losing all this access, all because they needed to keep their ego in check, like, up on its pedestal.
It's also what fucks you over when you are super manipulative in the way that they were, because when someone's that manipulative and lying and selfish, you can't, it's impossible to build back trust. Because it's like, okay, even if like a couple of years they come back and they're like, we've changed, we're different, it's just like, but are you tricking me again?
Mm.
Like, are you just looking for another way to use me? Like,
are you gonna rent me out?
Yeah, exactly. Like that trust is kind of gone. And it sounds like his sisters don't even like him. So it's like, screw it.
Yeah. So sad.
Go. Sad.
Best of luck to you.
Okay, next story. This comes from Am I Wrong? It's another.
Am I wrong? You gonna tell me that I'm wrong?
Am I wrong?
She came down in a bubble.
She came down in a bubble, dog. Sorry.
Grow up.
Get educated.
Wicked Witch of the East, bro.
Grow up.
Anyway.
Okay. Am I wrong? My friend told me she loves me 4 weeks before her marriage. Okay.
For
her marriage. This is a 35-year-old man.
Okay.
My friend B, who's a 35-year-old woman, just told me she loves me 4 weeks before her marriage, and I am not sure what I'm supposed to do here. I want to know if I'm doing the right thing. To give some context, I lost my wife 2 years ago. I have a 5-year-old daughter. I have not dated in the last 2 years because I have major trauma from losing my wife. I still love her a lot and don't think I am ready to move on. I invested all my time in my daughter, who looks exactly like her mother, and my work to keep my sanity for the last 2 years. I have been friends with B since we were in elementary school. We lived in the same neighborhood growing up and were best friends. She's an awesome person, and we were inseparable growing up. The weirdest part was that we had completely different personalities. She was very outgoing and always had a lot of friends. I am a big introvert, and B plus a few friends was all I needed. B was a serial dater, and I don't remember any time since middle school when she was single. B and I never dated, though. B and I also went to the same college. She never had a stable boyfriend, but just jumped from one relationship to another. I, on the other hand, did not date seriously until I was in my junior year, when I met my wife. She was a freshman, and we hit it off instantly. We fell for each other and spent all our time with each other. This strained my relationship with B, as I would generally hang out with my wife instead of her. That was the time B and I slowly started drifting apart. After college, I moved to a different town for my job. I occasionally messaged her, but nothing beyond that. B attended my wedding, and that was the last time I saw her. We kept in touch, but mostly by commenting on each other's pictures or keeping each other updated on significant life events. B did reach out to me when my wife passed away, and we talked on a phone call. Last year, B and her fiancé moved to my city. I was still grieving, and both have been amazing support for me and my daughter. My daughter loves dancing, and B helped me enroll her in dancing and gymnastics classes and sometimes takes her to them. I also became good friends with her fiancé, who is indeed an incredibly good man. My daughter also loves Auntie B, and B sometimes helps me babysit. Last week, B came to my house and asked if we could talk. Her tone sounded serious. She told me that over the last few months, she feels like she has started to develop feelings for me and is not sure anymore if she wants to go ahead with the wedding. She felt I also had started developing feelings for her. I told her that I am not ready for any relationship before I can deal with my mental health, for which I go to a therapist regularly. She tried to convince me that she loved me. We are soulmates, and she felt that we were meant to be together. However, I do not have the same feelings for her. I love her as a friend, but nothing beyond that. We were both emotional, but she said she was glad we talked about this. She left after that. B called me that night and told me not to talk about our conversation to anyone. I thought a lot about it and decided that I would not tell her fiance about B and my conversation from last week. I feel it's their relationship and I do not have the right to ruin their moment if B decides to go ahead with the wedding. However, I feel guilty that her fiance does not know anything about this and is going into a marriage where B might not be fully ready for it. Can you guys give suggestions on what I should do in this case? Am I wrong for not telling her fiance about our conversation? For context, I was on Reddit this weekend and I found this story and I sent it in. So,
okay.
I will say buckle up.
Oh my God, initial thoughts?
I mean, it seems like he is a very emotionally mature and stable person. And it seems like she like has some things that she needs to figure out. And it's just a really tough spot for him to be in, especially like that they're so close and have been close for so long, but also that he's become close to like her fiance and they've become like a support system for him. Like I can imagine that those, like both of them are really important to him. And so he's in a really awkward spot where he's like, well, I could say nothing and continue to have both of them in my life when I've, you know, been alone, but also I ton of guilt associated with potentially, yeah, like not telling
it's fiance. Super tough. My opinion for her is like, if you're feeling this way 4 weeks before a wedding that you're gonna go tell this person that you, like we're in love, we're soulmates, don't get married. What are you doing?
Yeah, call off the wedding first if anything, because clearly the first step of that stuff is, okay, clearly you don't, what you're feeling this way, but you also don't feel that you're meant to be with the person you're currently with.
Right,
yeah.
That's so tough. Like, I don't think people realize the position they're putting someone in when they're like, I'm married, I'm gonna get married, I have feelings for you. Oh, just kidding, don't tell anyone.
Yeah.
Like that strains OP's relationship with the fiance.
I wouldn't be able to be friends with her.
Yeah.
I'd be like, well, now
it
we
would
can't.
Make things so, I would have so much anxiety about that.
Yeah. But it's also so messy.
Yeah.
To now like communicate it, like mm-hmm. to get into there.
Yeah.
The comments here, I would tread carefully. B has some commitment issues and she pops this on you as she is getting ready to make the biggest commitment of her life. She may have true feelings for you. She may just be scared and think she has feelings for you. Protect your heart. Someone else said, hey dude, my advice is that people are complicated and make mistakes, but overreacting could be a worse mistake. From the way you told the story, it seems she was confused and made a decision to try and find some clarity. Honestly, it's much better she did it now than after the marriage. Marriage should be a huge commitment. We also don't know the other side of the story. Maybe she was having a rough time with her fiance recently. Maybe they were going through some very normal things about planning a wedding. That shit is stressful. Maybe they are dealing with conflicting opinions on their move. Maybe about having children. We don't know, so we can't assume we understand her motives. Her telling you to keep it to yourself could also be interpreted as her coming to a realization that she was wrong and is feeling shame about even acting on those feelings. Sometimes it takes doing something really dumb to understand how you feel. As I said, people make mistakes, and maybe this is one that she's going to think about late at night and cringe. We all have those moments. I recommend continuing to keep it to yourself. In a perfect world, the fiancé would understand that she just had a moment of confusion, but in reality, it might color the way he thinks about her forever. That isn't fair to him, it isn't fair to her, and it doesn't cost you anything. Lastly, someone said, focus on yourself and your daughter, bro. Stay away from both, not your business to get involved in.
Yeah, I mean, with the longer comment, I don't know if I agree with all of that because, like, I have heard of these similar scenarios where someone wants to vibe check if someone might feel the same way. And it's like, there's a more mature way to go about it rather than, like, going to OP and saying, I'm convinced we're soulmates, we're meant to be together, instead of being like, hey, like before I get married, I've been having these feelings lately that I'm not sure if I'm reading things wrong, but like marriage aside, like, is there something between us? And maybe getting that cleared away if you're still considering moving forward with that marriage. But it doesn't sound like that's what she did at all. It sounds like she was very much ready to lily pad once again. Yeah. Like, no, not shaming that, but it's like, it sounds like she's just continuing her pattern.
Yeah. And I mean, yeah. It's just like 4 weeks before a wedding and you're saying, like, I think we're soulmates to someone else. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's pretty rough. Yeah. It's tough. I'm biased because I know where this is going. Light trigger warning, mentions of assault and just a scary situation. Here's the update. This is 27 days later. Good movie.
28.
Fuck!
Fool.
You missed a day, you idiot. Okay. A month ago, I wrote a post regarding my friend, Bree, telling me that she loved me, only 4 weeks before her wedding. The last month has been crazy, and my whole world has been turned upside down. Again, for context, I lost my wife 2 years ago, and we have a 5-year-old daughter. Bree and her fiance, Jason, who's like 33, moved to our town a year ago, and we have reconnected as friends, and they have done a lot to cheer me up during this year and bring my life to normalcy. After Bree told me that she loved me, I told her that I was still not ready to move on as I still miss my wife. She said she understood, and I did not hear from her or Jason for a few days. The guilt was killing me, as I was not sure if I should tell Jason about what she told me. Thanks to everyone who commented on the post, it helped me think the situation through. I finally called Bree after a few days and asked her to meet me for lunch. I talked to her and asked her if she was going ahead with her wedding. She broke down and told me she was not sure. I told her that she should at least talk to Jason regarding her feelings and not be dishonest with him. I also assured her that I would not say anything to Jason, but I just wanted her to be happy. She said she understood and left. That night, I put my daughter to sleep and was watching TV. Around 9:30 p.m., I heard a loud knock on my door, and it was Jason. I opened the door, and he was in tears. He started yelling at me and asking me why I had to steal Bree out of all the people. I tried to calm him down, but he just kept on shouting. I was trying to get him to sit down on the bench on our porch. I told him my daughter was sleeping upstairs, but he slowly was getting more and more physical.
Oh!
He punched me in the face, and I was able to push him off. I told him to get out of my house, and he sat in his truck and drove away. I immediately called Bree, and she was crying and did not sound well on the phone. She told Jason that she could not marry him because she had feelings for me. I was really scared for her after the physical altercation with Jason and told her to gather some clothes and get out of the house. She did that and came to my place. I just didn't feel she was safe with Jason. I consoled her for almost 2 hours and was able to get her to sleep. The next morning, we had to call her parents and let them know about what had happened. Bree kept a brave face, but I could see how much she was hurting. Her parents asked her to take a few days off and immediately come back home, and she did take a flight in the evening to go home. Over the next 2 weeks, the wedding was called off. Bree and I were talking every day, and she was just very exhausted. She talked to Jason a few times and kept on asking her to take more time to think. However, I think Bree just wanted to get out of it and decided to just break it off with Jason. Currently, Bree is staying with us for the last 2 weeks. She still has a job here and started going back to work last week. I have talked to Bree in detail about what happened. Bree told me that Jason and her were dating on and off for the last 4 years. Jason is not very career-oriented, and Bree is very good at her job. She felt he was a nice and reliable person, but was unsure about him from the start. She felt that she was not getting any younger, and hence they decided to get married. When she heard about my wife passing away, she just felt really bad and wanted to be around me to comfort me. When she got her big promotion, which meant she could work in a corporate office, she immediately chose my city and moved here. Jason also moved here and got a new job. She never had any romantic feelings for me back then. As she started hanging out with my daughter and me, she started feeling the bond we shared when we were growing up, except I was the broken one and she was taking care of me. She said that she realized she was enjoying her time with us more than Jason. She realized she made a mistake with Jason and what she wanted was right in front of her. Hence, she slowly started thinking about me in that way and finally told me about it. She knew her relationship with Jason was over the moment she confessed to me. It's a shitty situation, but I am glad that she realized that before getting married versus after. As for Jason, I feel bad for him. He is moving back to our hometown closer to his family. He is currently in their apartment and will move sometime next month. I know a lot of you would be curious if we were dating. We are not dating. I don't think I can date anyone right now, and neither should Bree. She is my friend, and I am happy that she is staying with us and plans to be here until everything is sorted out. My daughter loves having Auntie Bree around, too, so that's a bonus. Plus, it's really nice to see her slowly getting back to normal. Thanks again for helping me during my last post. Cheers.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah. Friggin' wild.
What a mess.
I remember reading it, and before I knew, like, where it was all heading, it's like, yeah, so after her partner, after her husband punched me in the face in my own house, I told her to come over to my house. I'm like, do you want him to come over and murder you both? I'm like, what the fuck are you thinking?
Oh,
that's
God.
The worst place for her to go in that moment.
Well, like, but the way he wrote it is like, she came here. He was like, get out of the house, and then she came here. So it's, I don't even know if he told her to come.
Either, like,
regardless.
It's still the worst place for her to go.
Yeah.
Like, she showed up and he maybe should have been like, is there a friend you can stay with? Like, is there anywhere you can go? Because, like, he clearly knows where I live.
Mm-hmm.
He's shown up here and been physical here.
Yeah.
Tonight.
Yeah.
Like, if he comes home and you're gone and then he comes back here and you're here, I don't know. I'm
wow.
just like, and then, like, her staying there for weeks after, I'm just like, dude, what are you doing?
So
like, I just
tricky.
Am like, that's not, this is not good for either of you emotionally.
Yeah.
Is my, like.
I just can't help but feel like he's stated that he's not ready to date anyone. He told her that, I'm not ready to date anyone. And then said in the post that he's not necessarily like feeling that with her. But this, anything like that, like putting myself in her shoes, I would view going to his place, him allowing her in, her staying there as steps toward what I want. Mm-hmm. And like,
yeah, I can't help, but I can't say if it's like conscious, like moves that she's
mm-mm.
making. It might all be subconscious because she's going through a lot.
It's tough because like it's very likely there genuinely was nowhere else to go on short notice, especially if it was like right. in the middle of the night. And like, so that night, maybe still scary if the fiance
yeah.
did decide to just continue to be pissed. So unsafe, especially with a child at that house. But like that after that night, like find some other situation. It feels a little inappropriate at that point. And I also think like when you have a kid, you have to be very intentional and careful with who you're deciding to like be part of your family. And Auntie B is one thing, but that's not, Auntie B doesn't want to be Auntie B. It
right.
sounds like she, you know.
No, she doesn't. She's admitted.
Yeah.
Her intention is she wants to be in a relationship with you and be the mother to
you. She wants
your
to be
daughter.
Mommy B.
That's what she wants. She has said that. I also think it's a little sketchy that a year prior, and she said she wasn't in love with him, she moved to his city
mm-hmm.
to be near him.
Mm.
And I'm just like, that's huge.
I think yeah. it is huge.
That's
yeah.
gigantic. You made that decision for you and your fiance.
Mm-hmm.
To move to this city,
mm-hmm.
I'm just like, I don't think this, I think this is a person who needs to figure a lot out.
Yeah.
And I think that you should not be around her while she's figuring that
yeah,
out.
Yeah, like, she may not have been in love with OP, like, that year moving into the city, but, like, something was deep down pulling her in that direction. I don't think it was just like, I want to be near my friend again. But then again, like she has the thing with commitment. So like,
I think it's a fantasy in her head. I think
yeah.
she likes the idea of stuff.
Mm-hmm. I also, another rub that I have is if she's the career oriented one, she's the breadwinner taking them places and like being the compass of where they go. And he literally punched someone in the face. Like, he should have been kicked out. He should have been have to figure out where to stay that night. And that
right.
should have been her place.
Yeah.
But I
understand.
Don't know.
And I can't judge too much in that moment of, like,
totally.
It's scary. It's a whirlwind of crazy stuff.
So
like, you're
going
to make stupid decisions. But it's like, now you're making this big conscious decision. She's here until everything's sorted out. It's like, what's that timeline?
Yeah.
It's messy. Or, like, stay with a friend, stay anywhere else. It's just, like, this is messy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We have one comment here, but it reflects what a lot of comments were saying.
Mm.
Someone said, I don't think it's a great idea to be playing happy families with a woman who has confessed to being in love with you, especially as you have no intention of starting a romantic relationship with her. I don't think it will end well for either of you. 900 upvotes. And I agree. He admitted from the start that he is still emotionally in a crazy place.
Mm-hmm.
She is now absolutely in an emotionally crazy place.
Mm-hmm.
This is not healthy for the two of them, especially with her attachment to him. It's like, if you're in love with, if you admit to someone, I'm in love with you, I think we're soulmates, and they don't feel the same with you about you, being around them is not gonna help with that.
No, if that happened to me, I would simply run away and never stop running until I hit ocean or something.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah.
What's like the physical like version of sending someone an invite to play 8-ball on iMessage? Like that's what he should have done the first time she told him her feelings. Just like been like, so you wanna play 8-ball?
What?
So you want to play Fortnite?
Yeah.
But one thing I will say is, you know, OP is being, like, writing out this very rational post, being very rational about this in his own way, but maybe there is part of him that has feelings for her, too, and that's why he's allowing
this. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know.
I think that's the really hard part about, like, her moving to the city and then, like, becoming very close to him. Like, I think that also is just, like, even, like you said, if she's not doing it intentionally, that's a screwed up thing to do to someone who's, like, still grieving the loss of their wife.
Yeah, man.
Trying to take care of their child, and then you kind of just are like, hey, and then to, yeah, like, be like, yeah, and I love you, and you love me, and we're soulmates.
And,
yeah.
And even if they aren't dating, like, she's still kind of, like, lily-padded. Like, she went from living with one man to living with another.
And I think if he does have feelings for her, If let's say after a moment he's like, oh shit, I do. I still think he needs to be like, hey, I think we shouldn't see each other or talk for like a while until I feel, because like there's so much.
He can't rationally like make, like figure things out if she's constantly around.
And he needs to prioritize his daughter. And it's like, what's going to be best for her? What's healthiest for her? He needs to make sure she's in a safe, stable situation.
Totally.
And that he's in a safe, stable situation. But what a crazy ride, man.
Yeah.
Woof.
Crazy.
I can't believe he just showed up and started yelling on the porch.
Yeah, man.
Whoa.
Terrifying.
Crazy.
Oh, goodness.
All right.
This episode of Red Stories is brought to you by Rocket Money. Do you know that nearly 75% of people have subscriptions they've forgotten about? I would know. I was one of them. When I downloaded Rocket Money, it showed me all of my subscriptions in one place, and I got to see that although I thought I only had like 5 that I was paying for every month, I had way more. Things that I hadn't thought about or used in like a year. So I felt very dumb, but then I felt very grateful for Rocket Money. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. It's great, and it's super organized. It lays out everything right in front of you, so you can see all of your expenses in one place, which then helps you decide how you want to spend your money going forward, and you certainly won't have any subscriptions that you're wasting money on. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/pitreddit. That's rocketmoney.com/pitreddit. rocketmoney.com/pitreddit. This episode of Reddit Stories is also brought to you by ZocDoc. We all know there's things in life that you have to compromise on. For instance, I have a couchside table that is absolutely garbage. I know it's going to break one of these days, but I don't care enough to get a new one, and it's like it's doing the job, so I'm like, whatever. But when it comes to your health, you cannot compromise. It's too important. And that's why ZocDoc is something we can highly recommend. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. And once you find a doctor that you like, you can see all their available appointments, and all you have to do is press a button. You don't have to wait on the phone with a receptionist. That's the worst part. That's why I haven't booked an appointment for so long. The app has definitely motivated me to go see a doctor sooner because it is so simple and easy. Go to ZocDoc.com/pitreddit and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/pitreddit. ZocDoc.com/pitreddit. All right, back to the show.
Next story. Am I the asshole for not wanting to pretend to be my twin on her wedding day?
What?
Huh?
I think I've heard of this one.
What?
No way.
I, a 30-year-old woman, have an identical twin sister, and for the purposes of anonymity, I'll call her Jess. Jess and I look so much alike, it can be freaky. At one point, when we were still infants, they had to draw a little dot at the bottom of one of our feet just so they could keep track of who was who for medical reasons. My mom adored the fact that Jess and I were her cute baby twin girls and treated us as precious dolls who she would frequently dress alike and always make us do things together. At first, I didn't mind it at all because, well, it was my normal, and I do genuinely love my sister, but when we started getting older and I developed my own interests, I would get so frustrated or upset when I either couldn't do something because Jess didn't want to, or the only way that I could do it was if Jess could come with me and vice versa. Mm. It sucked because despite our appearances, Jess was the more extroverted twin who liked to go to parties and do sports, while I was introverted and artistic. I was always made to do what Jess wanted to do because me not wanting to be so social was seen as bad, and the only way that Jess would agree to do slash endure my hobbies was if I did her homework or chores. Mm. When my parents were divorcing, I was over the moon when my dad agreed to let me live with him in another state, and Jess didn't want to move away from all her friends. My mom cried when I had to tell her I didn't want to live with her, and Jess accused me of hating them. This really wrecked me emotionally, and I almost caved, but my dad got me into therapy, who helped me gather the courage to just leave. I never really did shake off that guilt until around senior year of high school, but I never once regretted my choice because of how liberating I felt by getting to just be me. I was slowly able to repair my relationship with my mom and Jess, but Jess and I were never really as close as we used to be, and I was honestly fine with that. Fast forward to adulthood, and Jess is engaged to her boyfriend, Steve, who's 36, and their wedding is set for this spring. Unfortunately, Jess was recently in a bad accident, and her face is going to need to get some cosmetic surgery. She has been crying on and off for days over this because there's no way she'll be healed up in time for the wedding. My mom, Steve, and I have been trying to console her, but it's not enough. Earlier this week, my mom approached me with the idea of dressing up as Jess and pretending to be her for the ceremony and reception so the pictures will look nice. I was floored and gave a hesitant no, because while I do know that this would mean a lot to my sister, I just feel really uncomfortable about it. My mom was upset with me and said that it wasn't a big deal. It was just for the pictures, and asked me if I really wanted to make it so that Jess would have to be reminded of her trauma whenever she had to look at her wedding photos or just not have any photos at all. Am I the asshole? Quick edit here. Okay, because I've already seen this in other comments, I just wanted to be clear about some things. Jess and Steve's wedding is booked at their dream venue, and if they postpone, which is in about 3 weeks, they won't be able to book it again until around 2025. And families on both sides are coming in from out of state. Apparently, between the wedding costs and needing to save up for the cosmetic surgery, Steve and Jess don't have the money to pay for professional Photoshop. We live in America, and as far as I know, since Jess's surgery is purely for cosmetic purposes, health insurance may not cover it, if any at all. My mom was the only one who actually approached me about this, so I don't know for sure if Jess and Steve know about this idea, and I'm honestly a little nervous actually talking to them about this in case they're on board and start to pressure me into agreeing. Edit number two. Sorry for not clarifying. What my mom is proposing that I do is that I wear Jess's wedding dress, and she wears whatever I was going to wear, and then I just stand in for her when it's time to walk down the aisle, do the entrance at the reception, first dance, bouquet toss, and photo time. I wouldn't actually be doing the vows.
This is so insane!
Dude, when you started this, I thought it was going to be like a, oh, she asked me if I would like step in for a quirky little joke, and I didn't want to do it.
Like,
but this is
too nervous. Or...
Literally,
this is like an A24 horror movie.
Yeah,
I cannot imagine what it must feel like, and it also sounds so tough because I hear so many stories about how truly close twins are.
Yeah,
in the best case scenarios, but like, to grow up not feeling like you can be your own person, and I can't help but feel like the mom clearly favors Jess, saying, you know, since OP is like, you know, my hobbies and habits were viewed as negative because I was more introverted, and, you know, she was the one who moved out. Like, this mom, I cannot believe this ask, because, like, can you just imagine the pictures? Like...
Well, what's insane to me is that what they're proposing is like, well, it's so that the photos all look good. I'm like, so you want Jess to not participate in her own wedding?
Yeah.
The memories of it are not as important as, like, the day itself.
Yeah.
She's not attending her own wedding. Like, she's not being in her own wedding. That's sad.
She's like, going to look at these pictures. She's not going to be like, that's me and I look great. She's going to be like, that's my sister
marrying my husband.
I actually don't remember that because that wasn't me and I didn't do that. Like, you're only going to have that opportunity with this husband to toss the bouquet, to walk down the aisle. Like, those are experiences you want to remember.
Yeah.
You're just talking about photos. Like, that's so sad. It also, though, highlights to me what I think weddings are to a lot of people, which is just all about the perception. And I'm like, dude, no, it's an experience. That's Jess's day. That is her day.
Yeah.
And like, everyone who's there should not give a shit what she looks like. It's about her.
Yeah, because I feel like if that were to happen to me and it's like, dang, I had this accident before this big event and I got to take pictures, like, honestly, like, that becomes part of it. Like, oh yeah, remember when we were so young and my nose was bent sideways and I could smell my own ear? That's crazy.
Yeah.
Haha. So great that we're better and healthier now. Like, I don't know.
I'd much rather be telling my grandkids like stories about like, oh yeah, like you can see these wedding photos. Like this crazy thing happened and I had to get the surgery instead of being like, oh yeah, this crazy thing happened. So that's actually not me in my wedding. Like I wasn't even in my own wedding.
That's like, it's so sad.
Yeah.
I feel bad for her. That sucks to have something like that happen before your wedding. It sucks to have it happen in general, but like, everyone who's at your wedding should not care.
Yeah,
and you're right. Like, when it comes across, it's like, yeah, this is about the pictures. This is about how it's perceived, not so much like... But I'm very curious if Jess is even aware of
this. Yeah, this update is going to really be...
Yeah.
The verdict was not the asshole, obviously.
Yeah, she has every right to feel uncomfortable.
Oh, my God. Comments, so wait, that was all Mom's idea? Jess was not involved? Wow, this woman sucks. Oh, hey, honey, so sorry you got badly hurt, but now you are super ugly, so I decided you need a body double for your own wedding. Can't have your ugly mug in any of those pics.
Ooh.
I understand why OOP wants to not put this on Jess's plate right now, but I hope she finds some way of letting them know eventually. That woman is horrible. Someone replied, Mom to Jess 5 years later. Why do you get sad when you look at your wedding photos? It's basically you anyways.
Yeah, seriously. Talk about Mom viewing them as one collective person and not as their own people.
Someone said, I was thinking this. It's an absolutely unhinged ask from the mom. Not just for OOP, but it's absolutely brutal towards the sister as well. Imagine thinking photos are more important than letting your daughter experience the magical moment of looking into her husband's eyes as she walks down the aisle. Not to mention, this is just 100% confirmation that she sees her daughter's as completely interchangeable. 2,600 upvotes.
Oh, wow, that's a lot of upvotes.
Yeah. But like, also imagine the husband in that situation just being like, I do. And then they have to kiss.
Ah! Yeah. Oh my God, they have to kiss.
Yeah.
And like the first dance and throwing the bouquet, like that's so, okay, I cannot wait for this update.
It's
because
wild. Okay.
No way.
All right, here we go. Oh God. Who do we think suggested it first?
I think it's Mom and only Mom. Okay, I think it's Mom and only Mom, and I think this whole thing is gonna make the twins close again.
What if it was Steve?
I was about to say, what if it's Steve?
No!
Could you imagine?
What if it's Steve? All right, let's see. Okay, one bet on Mom, two bets on Steve. Thanks for all your advice and suggestions, as well as affirmation that I have the right to say no. Still dealing with residual guilt about refusing to do things for my mom. So I reached out to Steve first about suggesting Photoshop, and it turns out he and Jess were already considering that before deciding to just postpone the wedding, as Jess is dealing with PTSD from the accident and doesn't believe that she is going to be able to handle the stress of a wedding in 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. I was so relieved and told Steve that I would be more than happy to help with getting the word out to people that the wedding wasn't happening right now. For the sake of peace and Jess's mental health, I've decided to keep what my mom said about using me as a replacement for the wedding photos to myself for now. Jess is really going through a lot, and I feel like this would be like rubbing salt in the wound. All right, honestly, for this story, that's probably the best possible outcome.
Yeah.
That Jess and Steve are like, oh, we're not gonna have a wedding.
Right? Yeah.
Wow, okay, so definitely, so it was Mom.
Mom is just awful.
Yeah, and claiming that they couldn't afford Photoshop or anything and saying that nothing else was an option too, like the mom was kind of manipulating.
Yeah,
Mom is weird.
Also, like, what year is this? Is like probably pretty recent.
This is about a year ago.
Dude, yeah, have you ever heard of Fiverr? There's got to be crazy kids on Fiverr that are awesome with Photoshop.
But also, what comes from a wedding is a lot of like gifts.
She made me 8 feet tall.
Yeah. But I think people could have given gifts that includes like money that they needed to afford a photoshopping like
totally.
That.
Totally.
You can Photoshop anything.
But I also
they're digital. They can sit like forever until you have enough money to
But I also think it's like cool. It's your dream venue, but like it's ultimately about the experience of that day. Mm-hmm. Postpone it. You just went through something horrible. Yeah. Postpone it.
If you can, yeah.
Yeah, and it sounds like they've decided, like, we're going to do that.
Yeah.
Like, she's not going to enjoy the day.
That's so freaking wacky.
I think she should eventually tell Jess.
Mm. Yeah.
Because that just shows, I think it's important for Jess to know how shitty her mom is and how, like, not on her side she really is.
Yeah, no, this mom is out of Black Mirror.
Yeah. Okay. Next story.
I hope we get that update. If you ever find that update, just call me right away.
Okay, I'll just call you, dude.
Like, you remember Jess?
It's 2 a.m. Hey, dude, stop playing RuneScape.
I heard
an update. Okay, final story, and I hear this one is a doozy.
Dude, how did I know you were going to say doozy? When you said, I know this one's going to, I was like, doozy.
He's going to say doozy.
Because you guys are the same person. It's just, you're him if we stretched him.
If you hit me with a hammer, like a cartoon hammer.
All right. Am I the asshole? Husband accused me of financial infidelity. Husband, who's 33, and... I, 33-year-old woman, have been married for 10 years, together since college. Since starting out, we have made financial security a priority and have been able to achieve that, albeit with some good luck along the way. We both have good jobs, paying close to $200,000 each.
Wow. Ooh.
Student loans were paid off within a few years, both went to state schools with some scholarships, so didn't have a lot of debt to begin with. We live in a house I inherited from my grandmother, no mortgage, and don't have any credit card debt. We maxed out our 401ks and currently have 18 months of expenses in our emergency fund and are still adding to it. Our cars are both paid off and should be good for another 5+ years, and we don't have any credit card debt. Okay.
Please, God, please.
Manifesting cool.
That for me.
How did you fuck this up? So everything was actually fucking perfect, and I decided to blow it up.
Okay, ready?
We manage our finances in a hybrid manner. Joint accounts for bills and savings and separate accounts for our fun money. We each get a pretty generous monthly allotment. The fun money is strictly for our individual expenses, hobbies, clothes, outings with friends, etc., and not for things like date nights, vacations, or larger joint purchases like household appliances and repairs, which come out of our joint account. In terms of the fun money, my husband is much more of a spender than I am due to expensive hobbies, in particular golf and collecting sports memorabilia, and he's also more into designer clothes, which is fine. It's his fun money. On the other hand, my hobbies are a lot less expensive. Running, working out, reading, baking. In general, I'm more introverted, and a great time for me is tea with a friend at one of our homes with homemade pastries. I have also been getting back into gaming lately after setting it aside for much of the past decade while building my career. After realizing I had more than enough in my fun money account, I decided to overhaul my gaming setup and got myself a new PC, desk, and gaming chair. Total cost of about $5,000.
Oh, yeah.
Slay.
Yeah.
Did she also start playing Star Citizen? It's a little joke.
I know. I heard about it.
I got it. Yeah, you told us. You told us.
You told us like 30 minutes ago.
Yeah, you told us.
However, upon hearing about the purchase, my husband is furious. He says he had no idea I had saved so much money and that I should have consulted him before spending $5,000. I asked what difference it made if it was my own accrued fund money and not our joint funds, and he insisted that my accumulating this amount without telling him was a form of financial infidelity. He says he lost trust in me and doesn't know what else I might be hiding. What? He is demanding that I return the items I purchased and deposit most of the funds to our joint account.
Whoa!
He wants to make a new rule that fun money accounts can't accumulate more than $2,000 and that any excess goes back to the joint account, a rule that would obviously favor him as a person who spends most of his allotment each month instead of saving up for anything bigger. I feel like I am being punished for being more of a day-to-day saver than spender. It wouldn't occur to me to demand to know how much my husband has in his fun money account or to try to micromanage what he spends it on. I wasn't hiding anything deliberately. He never asked about it until after I made the purchases. Still, maybe I should have been more transparent about my plans. So, am I the asshole? The fuck? I just don't understand, like, look, it sounds crazy, but speaking of their situation... They make a collective $400,000 a year. They have, like, no payments, no nothing.
Maxed out their 401k.
And he's mad that she's spending $5,000. I'm like, percentage-wise, that's, like, not,
nothing.
Like, yeah, that's crazy.
Also, like, so should she have bought each part of her gaming setup, like, over time? Because if this guy likes designer clothes, I'm sure he has, like, a $600 pair of shoes,
right,
$300 shirt, and it's just because he spent it over time quicker in that way rather than her just not spending like that and then dropping it. It's like, math isn't mathing.
That's a weird system to have when they're in the situation that they're in.
So true.
A little bit. And I mean, like, I can't relate to that. Their situation's crazy. Yeah. Like, they've got everything going for them.
Yeah, I can't fathom why he would be upset. Literally, you have a ton of money, no debt. Like, you get a free house. Like, why would you?
Those are also set purchases that are now, like, done. Like, you have the setup. Yeah. You have everything. That's it. That's the $5,000. There's no more that you are spending.
Yeah, she's not marriage embezzling. Jesus Christ.
That's also her money.
Yes.
Like,
compare bank statements, and you guys can both track how much you're putting in, but it's like, but you guys already had an agreement that your money is your money, and if you're both comfortable in your joint account, like, let her be her own person.
It's just a dumb system, because at the end of the year, at the end of the year, they look and it's like, oh, I spent $20,000 on fun money, and oh, you spent $7,000, but you spent that $5,000 all at once. It's like, this doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
This is a weird system. It feels like it's a system that benefits him and he's trying to control it.
Right. Yeah. I think he's also, like, it might be, like, something he's insecure about. It's like, whoa, she was able to save all this stuff and, like, I don't have that. Like, this is a problem because something.
Yeah. The verdict, not the asshole. Comments, what the hell is he spending $1,500 a month on? Does he have horses? Valid. I mean, that's, like, when you get rich, like, that's...
Yeah.
OP says, no horses, but lots of golf. The golf club membership is $500 a month alone, let alone expenditures for equipment. Someone said, that's a redonk amount to spend monthly on a hobby. He is being a great big jerk to you while he spends like it'll burn a hole in his pocket. I mean, I know golf is just fucking expensive.
Yeah. I mean, that's like a country club. Like, that makes sense, but equipment costs per month. Like, you have the clubs.
You should have it, and that should be set, and then you're just spending
again, the math is
balls
mathing.
In the water.
Interesting.
The math is mathing.
You know what makes me nervous? He's acting with, like, a lot of fear and, like, intensity, and it's like, I'm like, because in my head, I'm like, you'd only react that way if you, like, needed the money, but they don't need the money. But now I'm like, oh, no, do they need the money?
Is he projecting?
Someone else said, not the asshole, financial infidelity, my ass. He is just jealous that you save enough for a nice new setup. He is being absolutely ridiculous. Do not return it and put it in the joint for him to waste. He needs the money in the joint account.
Yeah.
I don't know if he has as much money as she thinks he has.
Yeah.
That's my theory right
now.
Dude,
they gotta compare statements right now.
Surely there was a comment asking her what game she's playing.
Yeah. What games does she plan on streaming?
What games is she playing? Where did she get a $5,000 setup?
What's she got on Steam?
What's she playing?
All right, got all of this. Time to play Minesweeper. All right, update number one.
Oh boy.
8 days after the original post. This is condensed a little bit. Because there's a lot. My husband finally calmed down enough to have a conversation with me. As many others who provided comments suggested, it wasn't really about the money, but a window into larger issues into our relationship. Essentially, my husband has been feeling increasingly unhappy with me for a while for the following reasons. In general, he feels that he's a lot more committed to his career development than I am to mine. It's true that although we currently have about the same income, the ceiling for his field, finance, is a lot higher than the one for mine, tech/software developer. He's currently in an executive training program, and I'm decidedly not. He remarked that since getting back into gaming a few months ago, I have been putting a bit less effort into cooking. I do nearly all the cooking because I work at home and have an easier schedule. It's true that I have been fixing simpler meals, things like grilled chicken salads or chili with cornbread, instead of elaborate meals with fussier foods and several sides. He also noticed that I haven't been doing the elaborate table settings I used to, with flowers on the table, fancy placemats, etc. Honestly, I didn't realize he noticed or cared about this, but apparently he does. Acts of service are one of his main love languages, so overall he's feeling a little neglected because of this. He also feels I'm not putting enough effort into my appearance. Not in terms of weight/body. I'm a long-distance runner and slim, but in terms of things like clothes, hair, etc., it's true that I've never paid much attention to these things, given that I work at home in tech. The standard for appearance is extremely low, and I far exceed that. I tend to buy simple, practical clothes at places like Target and Walmart, don't wear much makeup, and keep my hair in a simple ponytail. I do glam up a lot more for date nights and other dressy occasions, but most days he comes home from work to find me in a t-shirt and yoga pants with no makeup, and he wants me to make more of an effort. The bottom line is that because of all these things, he's starting to notice other women. Says he hasn't cheated. He's just noticing other people because he's regularly disappointed in me. In particular, given that he works in finance, there are a good number of very career-oriented type A women who manage to have fantastic bodies, effortlessly polished and glam, and have more interesting hobbies. He also says he feels horrible about all this because he knows I am a good person, that he's being judgmental, that it's not so much I've changed as that it's his own goals and expectations have changed in the past couple years. The financial infidelity part came into it because he feels I'm not really investing in myself and our relationship, thus cheating on our future, in a sense. He also says he loves me enough to be honest. I do believe he isn't trying to be hurtful. I really had to drag all this out of him. That he doesn't want us to drift apart further. That he doesn't want to be angry and resentful, and he knows he is asking for a lot. I know that many on this sub might say I should just tell him to take a hike and call my lawyer, but we've been married for 10 years, have invested a lot in the relationship, and I want to see if the marriage can be saved.
Ooh, oh my God, that's update number one?
Oh my God.
That's number one, bro.
I just want to say, it is so insane to me, like, that he's saying, and coming from a gamer, I'm going to seem biased, but golf is such a time-consuming hobby.
Yeah, bro.
It's like I'm going out on a Sunday for 8 hours. Yeah. Like, there's no way.
You're putting a tiny ball in a hole? Well, I'm traveling to multiple planets, slaying monsters and saving mankind.
Literally.
Yeah. No, golf is like a huge commitment. That is all of it. This sucks. I mean, he kind of went back. He kind of became what so many of the men in these Reddit stories are. It always comes down to the cooking. Comes down to the cooking, man. It's just like, well, you're supposed to do all the cooking. I don't understand it, and like, it just, they all seem the same once that gets brought up.
I also like think it's sad when you hear in a relationship like that, you want your partner to like, I think that there's a level of putting effort into yourself. I agree with self-care and stuff like that, but let your partner be like knit, like face bare, chilling.
Yeah.
Like that's because that's your real person. If you're expecting your person to embellish, then you, like what is your lens on reality at that point?
Right.
It's so weird. It's like he's obviously using these small things as an excuse, like because he just wants to be pampered more, and he like is. Yeah, if you're not finding your wife attractive, like you want to cheat and you want to be pampered. Like he's literally saying, yeah, you're gaming and you're not cooking nice enough and you're not setting the table nice enough and also you're not doing your makeup and that's like why I'm upset with you, which is just like a completely just shitty thing to say to someone.
You know what it is with these men is that it's that they view it's like, oh, you're not serving me right. Mm-hmm. You're not who I want you to be. They're not worried about their happiness or the happiness of their relationship. It's like, yeah, but you're not good enough now. Like, I need you to do these things for me. Yeah. And it's just such a selfish way of viewing it.
Like, can't people just get comfortable after a while? Like, not like the bad kind of comfortable, but like, let people relax and settle into their life. Like, they've both worked so hard to build this life. I've heard some stuff on TikTok about like career driven people where it's like that is their life force and that's what they do. They're not working for the weekend. Like they are gonna work until the day they die. But like she wants to live her life and enjoy her things. And he's spending his money on designer clothes and golf and to each their own. But like he's even when he has everything, he's still finding things that he's not satisfied with.
Yeah, it's like you're 33. Like, at what point, you've been married for 10 years, at what point do you get to relax? Like,
yeah.
And also, like him, he wants her to be Batman. Like, he wants her to be perfect at every step of the way. It's like, we read plenty of stories where a partner is clearly like, okay, something is getting in the way. Mm-hmm. They are dropping the ball in somewhere. They're neglecting themselves and everything. But she is making 200K a year, mm-hmm. and he still is like, well, what are you doing to get further than that? Yeah. Like, that's a nightmare to live with forever.
It's like, so, I would get it. As a degenerate gamer, I know how bad it can get. And, like, the fact that she's like, oh, she buys a new gaming setup, but she's also still cooking, still working out regularly.
Still full-time
software developer. Like, she's obviously, like, it's a healthy hobby for her to be like, yeah, I want to play some games, so I got a nice computer. Like,
yeah, and we do not have enough women in tech. Yeah. Let's be clear. It's great that she's there.
How dare she be content?
Yeah.
Yeah, happy. Literally. Unreal. Literally. Literally.
Update number two.
Okay.
15 days later.
15 days.
Love that movie. The
movie's so good.
Movie rocks.
15 days later. This is also condensed.
Okay. So
the more I thought about it, the more his requests, demands really, were sitting poorly with me. I decided to try a little experiment over the weekend to see what would happen if I tried to meet some of his demands. Not because I actually thought they were reasonable, but because I increasingly had the sense that the goalposts would just keep moving and that I was playing a losing game. Mm. So, Saturday morning, I went to the salon for a glow-up, haircut, fresh highlights, mani-pedi, then went to the farmer's market to pick up fresh flowers for our table and assorted other gourmet ingredients. Saturday is usually our date night out, but I suggested we stay in so I could make us a special dinner, steakhouse style. Lobster bisque, bread basket with several types of rolls / savory muffins made from scratch, crab stuffed mushrooms, filet mignon, au gratin potatoes, white chocolate mousse topped with raspberries. You know, shit, Trevor, you probably make that every day.
Yeah, dude.
I wore a lavender, his favorite color on me, sheath dress, and high heels and fully done hair and makeup. For all that, I got a lukewarm thanks, it was tasty, and a kiss on the cheek. Of course I did all the serving and cleanup. Afterwards, I asked if this was what he had had in mind when he critiqued me before. He said that it was a start. But that I was acting very entitled for wanting credit for basic adulting.
Huh?
Bro, he needs to figure out how to do some basic adulting. Like, what kind of childish behavior? If someone made me white chocolate mousse from scratch, I would be kissing their feet.
Yeah, I'd be crying, peeing the floor, apologizing.
How long? All of that shit probably had to take, like, all fucking day, if not multiple days.
Yeah, no, that's an all
Yeah,
day
how
never.
Does she do it?
Oh, my God.
Get ready for this. Oh, my God, Emily, don't do this to me.
Okay, but I will say, I love that she did that. I love that route. Would not have thought of it, and I think it was such a slay.
Dude, how hard is lobster bisque to make?
Well, I mean, it's tough. I mean, you gotta make a whole lobster stock, you know? Like, that's not, it's a time-consuming thing.
I'm dead.
Holy shit. He said that it was a start, but that I was acting very entitled for wanting credit for basic adulting. Basic adulting, like lobster bisque. He then dropped a bomb that he was being so hard on me because he had realized lately I had a lot to make up for due to my being a low-value woman.
Huh?
Yep. He works in finance.
Dude, no, you know what happened? You know what happened? Oh my God. You know what happened is this guy was like a normal dude and was content, and then Andrew Tate.
Yeah.
He saw an Andrew Tate video.
Yeah, dude, he found
Twitter.
The wrong podcast, didn't he? Oh no. Okay, okay.
Low value woman.
We're not even done, are we? Okay.
Okay, so make up for my being a low value woman. I asked what on earth he meant by that, and he said it was because I wasn't a virgin when we met.
Oh,
what?
Oh my God.
I didn't think that my mind could be blown from there, but oh wow, that's.
Oh my God! Huh?
Dude, this guy went to Top G University. This guy
all
went to Hustler
crew,
University.
All of the crew in this room is just losing it.
Oh my God. I done lost my dang shoe. That's so crazy.
Wow. I look over and see Luke just like this.
Dude,
just
God.
Okay.
God, we're on a roller coaster. Okay.
Keep in mind, we started dating at 21. Neither of us claimed to be virgins or stated that as an expectation. Except for very religious people, neither of us is. I don't think most 21-year-old college students are virgins. Right. Yeah. Anyways. just kidding. Right. Yeah. No, right. Yeah. I was upfront with him then that I'd had two previous partners, my high school boyfriend, we went our separate ways when we went to different colleges in different parts of the country, and another boyfriend I'd had my first year of college. And that's it. Both committed relationships and nothing casual. He then went on to say that because of my low value, I was going to need to be making it up to him for the rest of my life. That I didn't deserve monogamy or equal treatment, and that I was lucky that anyone at all wanted to marry me, and that he's connected with someone from work, so if I wanted to keep him, I'd better step up.
Holy shit.
My God. I told him it didn't sound like there was anything to keep if he no longer loved me, or even liked or respected me. Told him to leave, and he said he would gladly go to his girlfriend's place.
Oh!
No!
Anyway, I have taken the week off from work to get my head together. Have an appointment with a lawyer tomorrow. Canceled the marriage counseling appointment, but got a referral to an individual therapist who can do an intake session with me later in the week. He and the girlfriend, apparently, are coming this evening to get more of his clothes and things, so I have to brace myself for that.
My God.
Also, please be assured I do not think I am a low-value woman in any way. I let my husband make me think less of myself in some levels for a short time, but now I truly see it was a him problem. Obviously, we don't share the same goals and values, and he has become someone I don't recognize. I know the divorce won't be fun or easy, but I will be okay. Thank you all for helping me see that I was being played before I wasted too much more time in a marriage that was already over.
Oh my God.
Damn, dude.
Well, since he admitted to cheating, maybe she can screw him over in the court. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, fucking get him. It doesn't. She's gonna be fine regardless. I mean, that's insane.
I cannot believe that.
This is what happens when you get a gamer chair.
This is what happens.
This is what happens. You know?
Oh my God.
It really does highlight though that for this mindset, the manosphere type of stuff, there's. And I think it's important for men to realize this if they're thinking this way. It's like, you know, there's no like happiness. That you the message is that nothing is good enough.
Mm-hmm.
That you're just gonna keep on fucking your life up over and over and over. You are going to end up alone because you will make sure of it.
I also just, it's so clear, it's like not. It's so not equal in his mind because it's like, what does he offer?
Mm-hmm.
Like, sure, he's got this executive training program, but like, she's been a boss bitch this whole time. Was he a virgin when they started?
I don't think he was.
It's just like men.
Neither of us claim to be virgins.
Men like that, like they're like, I don't have to do all that stuff because I'm a man. You have to be all these things for me because I'm a man. It's like,
here's the reality. She now has her own life. She's gonna kick that guy out. And now she's got the sickest gaming setup of all time.
So. And it's her grandma's house. So she gets to keep her house.
If you're out there watching, don't play League of Legends. Don't play Valorant. Don't play Overwatch. Play fun games. Don't play competitive multiplayer games. You're gonna be just fine.
Oh, dude, what if she gets into Dark Souls?
That's awesome.
That'd be a game to let your rage out.
I will say, it's funny that when she started doing like simpler dinners, it's done in like all the stuff you can make in Sims. Chili.
I like how her simpler dinners are like me like doing something that I think is cool.
Yeah.
100%.
Like, oh, you made chili as like a simple dinner.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And what, they've been together, she said she's in her like early mid-30s.
Yeah, she's 33.
She's gonna be fine.
Yeah, she's totally fine. They had the perfect setup.
Mm-hmm.
No, he fumbled the biggest bag of all time.
He's a fool.
He is a fool. He's a
fool. Hall of Fame idiot.
And he probably sucks at Fortnite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sucks.
Yeah.
Zero Vic Roys.
Wow, that is
no
insane.
No skins. Broke.
All of these updates were mind blowing to me. Is there any in particular that really threw you off?
I don't know. They're all pretty mid, pretty mellow. I didn't really react much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of all very expected.
Yeah.
You did kill our sound guy.
Sorry, Scott. Sorry, Dina. I really, that last one really threw me. And it's very similar to the barbecue one where it's like there's this tiny little catalyst that just blows open this whole thing. And honestly, buying that gaming setup was the best thing she ever did for so many reasons.
Yeah.
And I hope she downloads all kinds of good stuff.
You know what's also crazy is this is like the third to fifth story we've read about someone being in a relationship and suddenly he fucking falls for this internet male bullshit.
Yeah.
Like suddenly it's just like, well, I am a high value male. And it's just like, all right, so you're blowing up your life now.
And what's even like so bonkers is like suddenly he had a problem with her not being a virgin back when they met.
He definitely, like, yeah, it was a new thing.
That's on him.
He's yeah. definitely like going out like cheating for like a long time, I think, before the gaming setup.
Yeah, like, and probably. Yeah, I don't know if that, I think just knowing him and the consistency, like I don't think that's like an actual priority that he has in his head, and it shouldn't even matter, obviously.
No.
He showed himself, and like I bet you she's so grateful for that.
Yeah, I think the lesson here is don't be a huge douchebag.
Yeah, and don't be entitled.
Yeah. Think of others sometimes.
Think of others sometimes.
Think of how much you can lose.
Yeah.
Yeah, you might do that, but, you know, a high-value male like me, I don't really need to worry about that.
Because you're
Thank you guys for being here. Because I'm a virgin.
Because I'm a virgin, so I'm high-value.
Well, thank you both for being here. This was crazy.
Wow, wow, wee wow.
Yeah, for real. And thank you for watching. Hope that wasn't too crazy for you.
Whittle it.
Tell me what your heart rate got to in the comments.
Yeah. What? Comment down below all the things that you're feeling and thinking, because we're thinking and feeling so many things too. And let us know what other suggestions, subreddits you want us to cover. There are so many stories with updates. We will be doing this again sometime. Do not worry. And we'll see you next Saturday. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Reddit.
Woo!